Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, chapter 10 was talking about the fact that the just shall live by faith, and that we are not of them that draw back, and specifically in the context, speaking of those Jewish people who profess faith in Christ, Hebrews probably written to the church at Jerusalem, and now encouraging them to bear the reproach of Christ, take the truth that he has spoken of, and by faith go forward. And from moving from indecision about Christ, an indecision or a temptation to do nothing or to go backwards, to try to avoid difficulty and persecution. In fact, he now encourages them to go forward. Chapter 11 is the great passage of Scripture about faith, and talking about the faith of the people of God throughout the ages. And that faith was a faith that acted, and a faith that demonstrated, was a demonstration. Those actions were a demonstration of their faith. And so it says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. It's talking about these witnesses in chapter 11. And Moses and Abraham and Sarah and Rahab and Enoch and Noah and all these others. These great people of faith who did the will of God. And who went forward. And so this is the encouragement for them to enter the race. You know, there's a difference between walking and running. You know, it is quite a a significant decision to decide to run. Now, I remember when I was in high school, the coach at some sort in time in the practice would say, okay, everybody do 10 laps. And at that time, we're at high school, was at Waukesha South, and they had the field house, and there was a... I think it was a 1/8 mile track in the field house. So he'd tell us how many laps we had to do. And you know, when he said how many laps you had to do, everybody kind of made a decision about what he said. You know, there were some that, you know, they got up and they just took off. And they started running those laps. There were some that just kind of, you know, just kind of barely took their time getting up, and they started, you know, just, you know, hardly even jogging. You know, they were just like, oh boy, you know, we're gonna do it, but we're not gonna do it. And you know, by the time that the first people had finished their laps, they had already passed some of them up. And so they would get to the mat and they would rest for however many minutes, 5 minutes or whatever, till the rest of them finished their laps. Well, you know, it was, in one sense, it was a significant decision to decide to run versus the decision just to kind of jog. You know, I remember one time I said, you know, I'm going to do what these lazy guys do. I'm just going to kind of, you know, take it easy and maybe by the time I'm almost done, the coach will say, okay, get over here. We're going to keep on going practice and I get out of one lap or whatever. But, you know, I did that once or twice and I thought, this is for the birds. You know, if you take off and you run your laps, you got at least 5 minutes to rest. But if you don't, you're a real loser because you don't get to rest. You're running, and you don't even have a minute to get a drink. You got to go right back into practice. And it was but it was a huge decision between deciding to run or deciding to be lazy and take it easy. Well, you know, really, that's kind of what the Apostle Paul is talking about. You know, he's saying now, you know, if Christ is our high priest, he's our living high priest, and et cetera, all the things that we've been talking about, and we have a perfect salvation, and et cetera, et cetera. And the conclusion is, he's saying, get into the race and run. Run for it. You know, take the truth and live like it. And run like you're in a race. You know, when you're running like you're in a race, you run to receive the prize. You know, if the Lord Jesus Christ is the high priest, and we'll all stand before him someday. We will all give account to him someday, won't we? And with this early, it said, neglect not so great salvation. Wow. And so he said, you need to get into the race. And the Christian life is a race. A race that Timothy tells us, that in this race, be strong in the grace of God. It's not our strength, but we need to be strong in His grace, the supernatural power that's in Christ. The Bible says if you run the race, you're going to strive lawfully. You know, you can't win the race if, you can cut across the corner and get across the finish line first, but you won't win, will you? You'll be disqualified. You know, people who run the race have to run lawfully, the Bible says in 2 Timothy. And so they're going to follow the rules. They're going to obey the commandments. And the Bible says, you know, there isn't a prize, there isn't a reward if we aren't running the race. You know, if you're not seeking to run the race, you're not seeking to press towards the mark of the high calling of God, that's almost a telltale. There's no reward. You might make it, but there's no reward. Some people don't act like they're running the race. But it says we have to strive lawfully. And it tells us here, as well, it says, let us lay aside every weight. You know, you could run a race and you could have 10-pound weights on your ankles. I mean, you really could. There's not anything wrong with that. I mean, it's kind of stupid, you know, or not smart, but you could run with 10-pound weights And you probably wouldn't win. But, you know, there are things that hinder us in the race. There's things that hinder us in the race. And ask Mr. Griffin. Ask Mr. Griffin some of the weights that he's put aside. They weren't wrong, but he just kind of put them aside. Why? Because he wanted to win the race. He didn't want to be distracted in life. And so there's things that, you know, we all could get so involved in this. We don't have, you know, some people are so busy in life they don't have time to come to church. Now, that's probably more than a weight. It's kind of probably a sin. You know, but people can get so many things going in their life, they don't have time to go soul winning. And maybe it's really just a good, legitimate thing that they're doing. But, you know, if you're going to win the race, you have to simplify your life. You have to decide, I'm not going to do this. Or you're going to have to say, you know, I'm not going to do this on Monday night. You know, that's the night that, you know, the adults are, all the adults are going to be out for VBS canvassing. All right? And you say, oh, I that's what I got to do. This isn't that important. And, of course, we could go on. We're going to run the race. We have to decide, hey, there's some things that are going to hinder me from running as effectively as I could run. And so there's weights in life. And, of course, it says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's quite a phrase there for the Apostle Paul. The sin that does so easily beset us. He recognized that sin can easily get into our life. And that sin is a poison. You know, it's not just a drag, it's a poison, it's a defiling. And so we have to run the race. We have to run the right way. Notice it says, let us run with patience. Of course, the word patience is their endurance. Being around a while, you notice that it takes a particular kind of effort for somebody that's been saved for a number of years to keep running the race. You know, a lot of people, after a certain amount of time, they stop running. They get tired. And you know, most Christians hope that things get easier. Most Christians, you know, somehow have this idea that it's not going to be as much of a challenge in 5 years to live for the Lord, or 10 years, or 15 years. But that's not true. Endurance. You know, the tortoise and the hare. Endurance. And if you've been saved a few years, you know what you have to do? You kind of have to crank things up a little bit. You got to kind of crank things up. And you can't just coast along. So he says you have to run with patience or endurance. And the last part of the race, boy, that it really starts hurting after a while. It starts hurting after a while. And that's the test. I was doing something today. And I was doing this little job. And I thought, I'll finish this tomorrow. I'll finish this tomorrow. And I thought, you know, that's kind of not a good idea. You need to kind of crank it up a little bit here and finish the job. You might be tired and et cetera. And that seems like a good excuse to kind of quit when it's almost done. And I thought, well, you wouldn't think that was very good if your son did that. You know, that's what's called endurance. And now notice it says, looking unto Jesus. You know, there is something that is very important in the Christian life. And that is the focus. We kind of joked about it tonight. We joked about signing up for the cleaning list. And joked about it, well, you know what? Those who signed up for it are going to be really glad if the Lord comes back the next day. Well, really what we're saying is that, you know, one of the key parts of the Christian life is to be looking for the Lord to come back. You know, things take on a whole new value when we're thinking of the Lord to come back. And of course, this picture is that in the Christian life, you always have to have a goal. You always have to have a goal. Now, I never was a track star, but I did do some running, not for track, but I used to do some running. And you can tell I can't do much running anymore. And that's how I always used to keep trim, but I can't run very much anymore. But when I would run, I always had a goal. I always had a goal. I say, now, I'm going to run, and I'm going to run to such and such a point. And then I can jog. And so that was the goal. I always had to have a goal. If you didn't have the goal, you know, you would get, if you didn't have the goal, you'd go half as far and you'd think, oh, I can quit now. I'm tired. But if you have a goal, you know, you can always run twice as far. And so he says there's a goal that we have to have. You know, I can't remember the exact illustration, but the first two sub-4-minute milers were in a race. And it was the race to see who was the greatest runner. This is a long time ago. This is before most of you were even born. And one of the fellows' name was Bannister, and I can't remember the other fellow's name. And so they were in this race to determine who was the greatest world miler. And so they were in this race, and the one fellow was ahead all the way. He was ahead, and they got almost to the finish line, and he looked back to see where his competitor was. And whoosh, the guy went past him. Just that moment of looking back. And of course, the Bible is telling us that we need to look ahead. Look to Jesus. Now notice the example of Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, the Bible tells us on the cross, what did Jesus have his focus on? He had his focus on the joy that was ahead of him. The joy of the resurrection and the joy of finishing of our salvation and the joy of coming before the Father with the payment of our sin. And so he endured the cross. And in that, he endured it, despising the shame. You know, the Jews were dealing with the shame of being associated with Jesus Christ. And you know, young person, and if you aren't looking to the Lord, you know what, that shame that comes from the world, well, that's going to be a big thing. You're going to be always thinking about what people think. Let me tell you, I know people don't think very much well of living for Jesus. But the Lord looked beyond the shame. The Lord looked beyond the cross. He looked at the victory side, the resurrection side, the completion side. And so here is the same thing that we need to do in our life, is we need to take our focus off today and the cost of living for Christ and the pain and all that comes with it. And we need to look to Jesus, and we need to look at standing before Him in heaven. We need to look to Him as our example, as our rewarder. And this is the great thing. You know, if we didn't think about Jesus today, we probably got our eyes off of what we should be doing. If we weren't thinking of meeting the Lord, we would be easily overcome by sin. If we weren't looking, judging life in light of meeting the Lord, you know, that's what happens to a lot of Christians. When as time goes on, they said, oh, don't waste your time at church so much. Don't waste your time serving the Lord. You know what's happened? They have forgotten that there's a reward in heaven. They have forgotten that someday we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, everything is going to have a completely different meaning when we stand before the Lord. So look to Christ's example as an encouragement. And look to Christ as the focus of our life. What a big difference that makes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight and for this instruction for us to enter into the race, to run with all our heart and being, to run to win the race, to hear the words of our Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, even this day, many of us have perhaps taken our eyes off of the Lord. And because of it, we started slowing down in our running. Or we were not willing to serve you, or do what we ought to do, or witness as we ought, because we took our eyes off the Lord Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, that we'll be helped, encouraged, and challenged by these great truths of looking back to those who've lived by faith and looking forward, and to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And to think of that day that we'll stand before Him and give an account. And be able to worship the One who died for us and saved us. And perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight about the challenge of living the Christian life. You've taken your eyes off the Lord. Perhaps you've forgotten that there is an end. There is a day of reward. And the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight about putting your eyes, don't look back at the world, but look ahead to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord has spoken to you about that very great, important truth. And to get busy, get in the race, to win the prize, to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The Lord is speaking to you about that tonight. And just raise your hand for prayer and decision in your life. Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. Others? All right. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Praise the Lord. Lord, now I thank you for how you have even worked tonight. And I pray that you would bless in a special way in these lives. They have definitely been prodded by your Spirit and shown what you would have them to do. And pray that each one of us, Lord, this truth would be used of thee, that we would not be ashamed of the Lord. We would not be neutral, but we would press on for the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name.